Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, the election is just a few days away, and we've talked plenty about the Democrats, John Kerry, obviously openly pro-abortion and supports advancing the homosexual agenda and is so anti-Christian in his policies that it's obvious that he's the wrong choice. The Republican Party candidate, George W. Bush, says that he is pro-life, but he was asked directly in the third debate if it's his goal to overturn Roe v. Wade, and he said, that's asking me if I have a litmus test, and my answer is no. And George W. Bush, through his career, has nominated, and proudly so, and defends his right to nominate pro-abortion judges. So that leaves those of us who know that abortion is murder, that puts us in a difficult position. Because we know that no candidate could be perfect other than Jesus Christ, and he's not running. So what do we do? Do we go ahead and support someone who says, as part of my policy, I will kill unborn children, but not as many as my opponent? Well, I think that's the wrong thing to do. And that's why this election day, I'll be voting for president for the Constitution Party candidate, Michael Perutka. And I want to welcome Michael to the show. Michael, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Mr. Enyart, thank you so much for having me on, and I appreciate your hospitality, and I appreciate your words. Thank you, sir.
Michael, we've got 50,000 watts here on the most powerful Christian radio station in all of America. So let's use them to go down part of the platform of the Constitution Party. And I am going to vote for you, but maybe we'll get into a debate or two here. I'm not sure. But could you tell us the party stand, your stand on abortion?
Yes, sir. We are 100% pro-life. I am 100% pro-life, no exceptions. I believe that as soon as you begin to make exceptions, then you're not pro-life anymore. We can't make exceptions for rape, incest, et cetera. What we're doing then is we're punishing the innocent children for the sins of someone else,
right?
And that is murder. I believe that the Fifth Amendment actually we don't need a human rights amendment or human life amendment. In fact, I believe that the Fifth Amendment already accomplishes that.
You can't deprive anyone of life or liberty without due process.
Of course, and these young babies in their mother's wombs have not been indicted by a grand jury or faced two witnesses in a capital crime, nor been convicted by a jury of their peers. They are perhaps in the most dangerous place that one could be in America today, and that is in their mother's wombs. Mm. And we need to change that. So that is what we stand for. I agree with you that during that debate, Mr. Bush had every opportunity. He could have hit that out of the park for pro-life,
right,
if he was committed to that.
Yeah,
when he was asked the question, "Would you have a litmus test?" and he said, and he mumbled and jumbled and said,
"Well, he was asked,
no, why can't we all get along?" His opponent hit it out of the park on his side the wrong way and said, "Yes, I would have a litmus test."
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't appoint anybody who would overturn Roe v. Wade. So,
right,
I think that there was your declaration.
Mm, it's real sad. The other side brags that they live by their principles, and our side is willing to compromise, even if the matter is murder. The Republican, conservative Christians compromise even on thou shalt not murder, which obviously, you know, they will not compromise on Republican Party politics, Michael. They won't say it's okay to vote for Michael Perutka because they absolutely do not compromise on Republican Party politics, but on God's principles of do not murder, they're willing to compromise.
Well, this shows you then where their priorities are. What it shows you is that they are Republicans first and Christians second, followers of Jesus Christ second. It shows you who is their Lord. George Washington, as a matter of fact, in his farewell address, warned us particularly against exactly this. Back then they called it faction, we call party now, they called faction. And he warned that of the rise of faction because he warned that men who are fallen creatures would favor their faction, their party, over their principle. And that's precisely what's happening.
Right. And I actually agree completely with the whole notion that the political process is a left-wing process. And it's extremely divisive. And Jesus Christ, if he were running, he wouldn't win. Maybe he'd be crucified again. And the prophets and the apostles, typically, they were in the big-time minority because Jesus said the majority is not righteous. And so that is a challenge.
He also said that he didn't come to make peace. Jesus Christ himself is a divisive character, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, now Michael Perutka, again, Michael's running for president. He's his party's nominee for president on the for the Constitution Party. He's on the ballot here in Colorado. How many states are you on the ballot?
We were able to get on in 37 states, Bob. And if your listeners knew how hard it is to get ballot access, they'd know what an accomplishment that is.
That is impressive. And you just mentioned that you're a Christian first. Does that mean that conservative Christians want to outlaw other religions and you could only be a Christian in America?
Of course not. What we need to do is to go back to the founding principles of America when we acknowledge and honor God as the author of law and liberty of conscience and government. We see that the First Amendment makes a great deal of sense. What the founders were saying there was that we're not going to tell you how to worship. When they said we won't establish a religion, they meant we're not going to favor and insist that you be a Methodist over a Presbyterian or a Presbyterian over a Baptist, etc. That's what the establishment of religion is. To acknowledge God as the author of law and liberty and government is not the establishment of a religion. It's not even the exercise of religion. It is the acknowledgement of the foundational principle, the first principle of American law and government. When our founders said all men are created equal, they're acknowledging a creator God. Every constitution of every state, I believe without exception, acknowledges God as the author of law and government.
Even the federal constitution, which on this show we do from time to time point out some serious problems the constitution has had, but in Article 7 it refers directly to Jesus Christ, not to Buddha, not to Muhammad, but it says that the constitution was ratified in the several states in the year of our Lord, what was it, 1787? That's they're dating the time that they ratified it from the birth of someone, and I think you could figure it out, it's Jesus Christ is referred to in Article 7 as our Lord. So those who say that America had a secular foundation, that's not true. We're a Christian nation that gave liberty to all men to worship God or not worship God, and it's Christianity that's given the world the greatest amount of religious freedom.
Of course, and people have come here to be able to enjoy and exercise that religious freedom. It's precisely, the Constitution also, people say, well, it doesn't have God, doesn't have the word God in the Constitution. You know, biblical principles are actually, volumes have been written about this, but just briefly, biblical principle, the separation of powers and the and checks and balances, the right to face two witnesses in a capital crime, and so many other things, the right to a trial by jury. These things are biblically based. These things are out of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy.
Well, certainly the criminal code is in the Bible. The Ten Commandments, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, don't bear false witness, don't commit perjury. But Michael, I don't think there's a right to a jury trial in the Bible, though. I have to call you on that one.
Well, I think we could debate, not a right to a jury trial.
We could debate that on another show.
All right. Well, we'll put that aside.
Okay.
My point was that there are many principles that are found in the common law, which go back to, of course, biblical law, and the right to a trial by jury was one of those I'm referring to. But
hey, Michael,
my point is that we are based. I'm agreeing with you that we are based on these biblical principles, and as we try to remove the acknowledgement of God by using this false and perverted concept of separation of church and state, there is a proper understanding of the term. But when we have submitted for 50 years now to judicial tyranny and allowed the First Amendment to be stood on its head from its true meaning, that is got scales on people's eyes here in America.
How about this, that the liberals in America, our own homegrown liberals, they seem to be completely intolerant of conservative Christianity, and they prefer any worldview over it. They prefer the communists in the Soviet, the old Soviet Union, or China, or Cuba. They prefer even Islam to Christianity, but it's Christianity that gave the world, truly in America, the greatest religious freedom for atheists, Jews, Buddhists, and Christians, Hindus, and Muslims even. But if you go to many Islamic countries, you're persecuted for being a Christian. And communist countries, they deny religious freedom. And so what's with the left in America that they'll take any worldview except for the conservative Christian one?
Well, here's why I think that occurs. And by the way, isn't that an example of their tolerance, right? They're tolerant
right.
of everything. They want us to be tolerant, but they're not tolerant of Christianity.
Right.
Here's why I think that exists. Just basically, there are only really two views of government. There are two worldviews of government. One is a biblical one, and the other is a pagan one. In the biblical one, God is sovereign. Howard Phillips always says, law is always the will of the sovereign. So what the question is who is sovereign? In this American view of law and government, God is sovereign. The American view is the biblical view. There is a creator God. Our rights come from him. The purpose of government is to protect, to defend, and secure those God-given rights. But the pagan view says there is no God, says that the state is God, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these people that want to be intolerant of only Christianity, you could see why that is, because what they are pagans. They are God haters. They are people who don't want a government based on the biblical view and the Christian view. And what they are doing is really making this into a pagan world. This is an anti-God. This is a spiritual battle. It comes right back to that. There's two views of government, and the reason they're intolerant of this is because it is diametrically opposed to their belief system.
We're talking to Michael Perutka, running for president with the Constitution Party on the ballot in 37 states. You mentioned Howard Phillips. People in the audience might not know Howard. He was appointed by Nixon, Richard Nixon, to be to head up some government departments. He was on Nixon's cabinet. And he's, I think, the founder of the Constitution Party. We've had him in studio a couple times over the years. How is he doing?
He's doing very well, thank you. He has actually helped me very much during this campaign in an advisory capacity. He is, as you correctly stated, he was in the Nixon administration, and he left there as a matter of principle because he thought, he was promised that he was going to be able to defund a lot of this leftist, liberal, unconstitutional spending, and then that was reneged on him. So he started something called the Conservative Caucus in the mid-70s,
mm-hmm.
and in 1992 he was really the founding force of the what was then called the U.S. Taxpayers Party. In 1999, we changed our name to the Constitution Party to more broadly reflect our true mission, which is to return to constitutional rule of law government in America.
Well, Michael Perutka, how about your party's platform on education?
Well, you know, Article 1, Section 8 sets forth the 18 things that the Congress has the authority to tax and spend your money for. Education just is not one of them.
It's not there. Our founding fathers were mostly homeschooled, and they were brilliant.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm a homeschool dad myself. I'm not brilliant, but
good for you.
I became convinced and convicted that I was accountable for my children's education, whether or not I subbed it out to somebody else or not. And this really is an important distinction. Education is in the jurisdiction of the family. The state has no children. The state wants to use your children and take your children and train them their values so that their values are different from yours. And homeschooling, I believe, Bob, is probably one of the most bright and shining hopes for America.
It really is. That's true. That's certainly the best way to go to raise your kids, to educate your kids, homeschooling. Most Christian schools seem to be pretty mediocre or worldly. There's a handful maybe that are real good. So homeschooling is the best way to go, it seems. Michael, real quick, how about pornography?
Well, you know, things that violate God's law are not. I don't believe pornography is a federal issue. By the way, I really believe that it should be dealt with by states and by local communities.
All right, let me give you our take on it at Denver Bible Church that I pastor.
Sure.
Is that it should be criminal? Prostitution should be criminal. No state has the right to decriminalize murder, rape, any crime. Crimes, the law of God and criminal law doesn't change as you drive down the street. And so it should be against the law to pay any human being to traffic in sex. It should be against the law. And so free speech, yeah, but paying women to have sex with three guys or an animal and videotaping it and selling that, it's so utterly destructive. And the law that God gave us was sex was only legal within marriage. That's it. And since
well,
go ahead.
I agree with you, and obviously what you're saying is consistent with what Blackstone would have said, that if laws are not consistent and harmonious with God's law, then it's not law. Municipal law is not law. Man's law is not law unless it is consistent and harmonious with God's law. I believe that those things are against God's law, and they should be prescribed by civil government. I just don't believe that they fall into the jurisdiction of the federal government, which is a government of limited enumerated powers.
All right, and I understand that. One, I'd like you to reconsider that no subdivision of government has the right to decriminalize any crime.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Hey, okay, how about on welfare, Michael?
Well, you know, again, we have to go back to jurisdictions. There is no jurisdiction of the federal government to feed or clothe or shelter anyone unless it has to do with the national defense,
right.
Which is something that's authorized. Now, this strikes a lot of people as very, very revolutionary, or very, very odd. But, you know, there are four jurisdictions of government. There's self-government, then there's family and church and state government. It's just not within the jurisdiction of the civil government, the state government, to be involved in these matters. I'm not against charity. I'm not against eleemosynary giving, et cetera, but these things have to be done from the standpoint of an individual or a family or in the church government under that purview and under that jurisdiction. It's not authorized for civil government to take money from A and give it to B.
Sure. The tragedy of American compassion, the millions of lives that have been destroyed because people have been caught up in the welfare vortex, and we have reformed welfare, but that's almost like reforming a house of ill repute. It's,
sure.
You know, God said, thou shalt not steal, and don't kidnap, don't murder. And just because you're a governing official or you get the vote of the people, it doesn't mean that then you could kill Jews or kidnap blacks or steal from your neighbor. So if you want to help someone who's less fortunate, praise God, that's a really good thing. From your hand to that person's hand, help that person. But when you set up an institution by force to take money, millions of dollars, and then distribute them through institutions, you do harm, and you can't do good with stolen money.
Sure. And they say that, you know, there's no right way to do a wrong thing. So this is a wrong thing. It's a wrong goal. The commandment also says, thou shalt not covet, and that's part of this too. We have no authority to take from A and give to B. In the civil government, we have no authority to do that. If I did it individually and put a gun to your head and went down the street and gave it to somebody who was needy, I'd be a felon. I'd be a criminal. And there's nothing that legitimizes that by doing it collectively.
Yeah.
It's still the same crime.
Right. I've taken moms who are on welfare and get food stamps, and just for the experience to learn more, I've taken them to the grocery store to do their shopping with their kids. And I see how they shop and what they do and what their attitudes are. And what I've found, the people I've interacted with for, you know, I'm 45 years old, but is that the people who receive government support are not gracious. They don't have this deep gratitude toward their neighbor and the taxpayers. They tend to be bitter and envious and angry that they don't get more. And that's evidence. If you have a grandkid in your family and people are helping him out and he's not thankful, but he's bitter and he wants more, that should tell everybody we're hurting that kid and we're hurting families because we're not doing it God's way.
Sure. When we step out of our jurisdiction and when we violate principle, the results, even if they seem in the short term to be pragmatically good, no, they're always going to be bad. I don't know if you know. Are you aware that yesterday, you were talking about abortion before, are you aware that yesterday on Good Morning America, President Bush actually legitimized in his mind, he said that civil unions are legitimate and that people have a right to be involved in civil unions.
We've been saying this. Michael Perutka running for president with the Constitution Party, that was the next thing on your platform that I was getting to, family. And we've been saying that the Republicans are going to really take us a giant step down the homosexual agenda, because even if we win the battle against gay marriage, which we've predicted all along, we'll win that, but they're going to hand them civil unions, which is codifying the most destructive human behavior that is far more dangerous to young Americans than is Al-Qaeda.
You're exactly right, and Mr. Bush was extremely clear yesterday that he, on again with Charles, I think it was Charles Gibson on Good Morning America, he was very clear. He said that he would believe that civil unions should be legitimized, and there's no reason why those in civil unions shouldn't have all the rights of those in marriage. Those, you know, those thousand rights they talk about. Look, you know, here's another example of where we violate principle. We give away these benefits, and then all of a sudden the benefits are rights, and then everybody wants them, and it's an entire mess. These things need to go back to their proper jurisdictions. We don't need I don't believe we need an amendment to the Constitution regarding marriage. I do believe what we need to do is hold judges accountable to their oath of office. And many people think that, you know, federal judges are appointed for life, but of course they are not. They're appointed for periods of good behavior, and good behavior being defined as fidelity to the Constitution. So we need, if elected, I would work for the impeachment. Of course, Congress impeaches judges, but I would work for the impeachment of those judges who set themselves above the Constitution, like they did in the case of Chief Justice Roy Moore, for example. But and like they're doing with respect to trying to legitimize homosexual, gay, whatever you call it, homosexual marriage,
yeah.
Perversion. They're trying to legitimize perversion. We need to impeach judges that set themselves up like that.
Mm. Okay, now, how about taxes? The Constitution Party platform position on taxes.
Well, we would call for what I would call complete tax reform. You know, people don't realize that we lived 120 years in this country without a federal income tax, and we don't need one now. We would look to repeal the 16th Amendment and abolish the IRS as you know it now. I think there might still be a function for the collection of tariffs, because that is a constitutional way to for the federal government to get money.
Now, here at Bob and Your Live, we're all for getting rid of the IRS, but you're going to have to tell me, okay, so it sounds like the Constitution Party is not a fan of the income tax. Tell me, how would you tax?
Well, you tax constitutionally. Constitution allows for a tariff-based revenue system. It also we can have duties and also excise taxes. We can also apportion taxes among the states. That's one of the reasons, by the way, for the census.
Well, then how would
of the reasons? I'm sorry.
Go for the census, so the states know how much their share of the tab is for the federal government. But
That's right. The congressmen.
But if there's something wrong with the income tax, how would the states pay their tab?
Well, the states could do it any way that the states are sovereign. The states the states can do it any way that they desire to do it. It would be,
well, they couldn't do it a way that's immoral or wrong.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I'm not in a way that's immoral or a violative of God's law or their constitution, but the federal government would send them a bill.
Michael, not to get into a debate, but just real quickly to run by you, here at Bob and Your Live, we talk about taxes quite often, and in the Bible, God had the problem of generating taxes for a central pool of money to run the priesthood, the temple, and he chose an income tax, and so he validated the fairness of the concept. And the problem with import duties is, especially in time of war, you give control of the federal government's revenue to perhaps your enemies. And also sales tax, the Constitution Party's platform is against conscription, and it says compulsory government service is incompatible with individual liberty. And, you know, as a small businessman, I'm forced to be a tax collector, and I despise that. The government does not have the right to tell business owners that they have to become tax collectors.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The government should not make agents, its own agents, out of men who are freemen. It has no authority to do that.
We
by the way, wasn't this the case in Greg Dixon's case in the Indianapolis temple?
The church, Indianapolis Baptist Temple, wasn't?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They didn't want to collect the taxes. And so the IRS took their church property, which was worth a few million dollars away.
And it wasn't a question of whether the taxes were paid. The taxes were paid.
Right.
The issue was that they wanted Pastor Dixon, and he wanted that Indiana Baptist Temple, I think it's called.
Yeah,
wanted them to be the agent of the government. That was the point.
In the book of 1 Samuel, God points out that a 10% income tax is tyrannical. And I happen to agree with him. And his tax for the priesthood was 10%. And so whatever tax the government requires, our system, we suggest here at Bob and Yurt Live, a 5% flat income tax. And then that also constrains what the government could do. It has to get out of social engineering. But how about crime?
I'd be happy to discuss that or look at it and learn more about it. I'm a teachable person.
Michael,
I think the real issue here is that we have the real issue is not the collection of revenue here. The real issue is the unconstitutional spending on unconstitutional programs that we've been doing for so long. We've been saturated in this socialist idea of government for so long that when we stand up and we say we want to return to constitutional government and limited government, it sounds to people like it's something revolutionary,
radical,
but it's
right.
not. It's something restorative.
Well, George W. Bush talks about Kerry as being a tax and spend liberal, but the Republican Party and George W. Bush, he's a borrow and spend liberal. He just gave us a $500 billion new socialist medical program with prescription drug benefits for senior citizens, transferring wealth from hardworking families with young kids to people who are better off senior citizens.
Sure. I think eventually you'll see it doesn't matter to the socialists which way they transfer the wealth.
Yeah, right.
It's just the point of that
control.
That's how they aggrandize their own power.
Yeah, it gives them control, and then the federal government gets a cut of every dollar that trades hands. And so it violates thou shalt not steal, and especially at a time of war. I mean, you never steal, but in a time of war, our governing leaders should be extra fiscally conservative, and with record deficits and a $7 trillion debt, George W. Bush gives us another $500 billion socialized medicine program.
You know, back in the days of the 60s, Barry Goldwater and William F. Buckley, in what was then called the conservative movement, what they talked about being conservative was being limited, fiscally responsible, constitutional government. George Bush and this administration is none of that.
Is in violation of
limited,
even the...
It's not fiscally responsible. It's the largest, most debt-ridden government and administration in modern history.
Spend and borrow.
So, Michael, we're out of time.
But this is Michael Perutka of the Constitution Party. Michael, your website, give it to the audience.
Sure, GodFamilyRepublic.com. Just go to GodFamilyRepublic.com.
All right.
Those are our themes, and that's our website. And I thank you for the opportunity to be on with you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure.
God bless you. Appreciate you. Michael's up in Alaska. We reached him up in Alaska. It's great to talk to him up there. It's a beautiful state. I've been there. You got to get there sometime. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a school that is. 20 beautiful acres, over 100 staff members, Christ-centered, top academics. All this for your kids. It's a full-service school from kindergarten through 12th grade, and their phone number is 303-431-5653. That's 303-431-5653. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we offer the plot. It's an overview of the whole Bible. If you like to read the Bible, sometimes it's a bit confusing, consider listening to the plot on MP3, CD-ROMs, or on audio tape, or read the manuscript. You'll love it. Call us at 800-8-N-YARDS.